Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The big story at this year's local and European elections was what had happened to the Sinn Féin surge. Despite modest gains at both local and European level, the party's vote share fell far short of the levels predicted by opinion polls over the past 2 years. In the US, the last time Donald Trump faced a Democrat looking to become America's first female president, the polls predicted that he would lose badly. But he defied expectations and he took the White House. That result came just months after another major upset missed by the polls, the UK referendum on Brexit. So, can we still trust polls? How are they evolving? And how can you tell a reliable poll from a bogus one? Who better to ask this question than the BBC's polling guru, Professor John Curtis, who lectures in politics at Strathclyde University. Professor Curtis, a very good morning to you and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning to you. Let me just correct you on your introduction. So if you take the 2016 US presidential election, we have to remember that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, not Donald Trump. She was 2 points ahead. The average in the final polls was about a 3 or 4 point lead. That, frankly, is as good as it gets. What is true is that in the 2020 election, the polls overestimated Joe Biden's lead. So far as the 2016 Brexit referendum in the UK is concerned, actually a majority of the polls conducted during the referendum campaign had Leave ahead. It is true that, and that indeed in the last week, the week before the referendum, they all had Leave ahead. It is then true, however, that there was a swing back towards Remain, according to the polls, though two of them still had Leave ahead. But I think people tend to assume that people then said, it's obvious what's going to happen. Remain are going to win. And they remember their expectation rather than necessarily precisely what the polls had said. Now, that said, sure, polls sometimes get it wrong. So although you might think that in the 2024 election, given the polls had Labour well ahead, the polls were right. Actually, they weren't, because in terms of the vote share, they overestimated Labour's lead over the Conservatives by the order of 7 points, which is not quite as bad as in 2015 or in 1992, but certainly is of a piece with a general problem. It's not a problem particular to a particular election. There's been a tendency for the opinion polls in the UK to overestimate Labour relative to the Conservatives.
I knew I was going to have my I's dotted and my T's crossed in getting into a conversation with you about this. People will know you as Mr. UK General Election Night poll expert because you run, with others, the exit poll, and you do something very brave that we don't usually see somebody in your position doing, taking public ownership of that poll from the moment that its results are announced at a minute or two past 10 o'clock. Is that a nervous point in time for you? Because, you know, it has been wrong in the past. It has been more accurate than inaccurate, but it has been wrong in the past.
Well, it's not been seriously inaccurate since we changed the methodology. So the point one to make is that exit polls are a completely different beast from opinion polls conducted in front of before Election Day. Opinion polls for Election Day, you've got to attempt to try and find a representative sample of the electorate. Exit polls are basically simply taking a sample of polling stations, asking people how they voted, and then going from there. Now, the difficulty inside the UK, however, about doing an exit poll is that as a result of changes made in the Victorian era, we do not count our ballot boxes by polling station. We rather take ballot boxes uncounted and transport them around the country, including across, you know, Orkney, Shetland, etc., to a central count, and we then empty them, check that the right number of ballot papers in each ballot box, but then we mix them all together before we count. And that was because the Victorians were concerned that if they counted ballot box by ballot box, the confidentiality of the count would be compromised. So, and we've never changed it. That does make doing an exit poll difficult in the UK, because therefore you do not know whether any sample of polling stations is representative of the country as a whole. Now, what we do, in fact, in the UK exit poll is we don't even attempt to do that. We don't actually use the exit poll to try to estimate the level of support for the parties. Rather, we use it to estimate the level of support. And that means, how do we do that? Well, basically, the exit poll in the UK, wherever possible, goes back to the same places as it did at the previous election, for which we have evidence as to how people voted locally. And that then gives us around 130 estimates or so across the country, different polling stations.
So with each successive election, you can say what you're saying with a greater degree of certainty or confidence.
Right, you can, because the change in party support doesn't tend to vary as much as the level of support. And so therefore, by trying to estimate the change, you're more likely to coast the truth. That said, the real challenge with the 2024 election, and this is where the polls done beforehand did get it right, although they still were overestimating Labour's position, was that we had a remarkable change in our electoral geography, whereby the Conservative vote went down most heavily in places where previously were strongest. That cost them seats. Labour's vote went up most. Indeed, it virtually only went up where they were starting off in second place to the Conservatives, and the Liberal Democrats enjoyed the same benefit where they're starting off second. So therefore, the geography changed dramatically. So the exit polls accuracy, which we in the end, we said 410 for Labour, it's 412, that rested on getting that geography correct, which was actually all the evidence was there in the opinion polls that were published before.
Okay, that's an exit poll, which is, as you say, a very different beast to an opinion poll. Can I talk to you about the possible problem of opinion polls shaping an election rather than just describing public opinion accurately during an election campaign? Because there is quite a lot of research to show that very significant numbers of voters make up their mind in the last 48 or 24 hours about what way they're going to vote, and very often can do so on the basis of who they think is likely to win or not win, as described in opinion polls.
Well, okay, there are two things to say. First of all, I mean, there are two issues about the way in which opinion polls may shape the outcome of election. One is that they may affect the way in which the parties fight. And sometimes the parties complain about the polls being wrong because they feel that as a result, this misled them as to the kind of campaign that they should be fighting. So that's one issue. And in a sense, it's very difficult to prove what would have happened if a campaign were to be fought differently. The second issue is, you know, given the campaign that's been fought, do the polls affect the way in which people vote? Now, there's a particular issue which arises in the UK but doesn't arise in the Republic, and that is, of course, is that because we have a single member priority, first past the post electoral system, if you're in a situation which we were clearly in 2024, where the electorate wanted to get rid of the incumbent government, then you've kind of got to work out, well, if that's your principal motivation, you're not too fussed about which opposition party you vote for. And the truth is, a lot of people are, but some people aren't. But then you've got to work out, well, how am I best able to vote locally to defeat the Conservatives? Now, the opinion polls are one source of that information, but they're not the only source of information, because, of course, certainly what was going on in the UK in 2024 was that basically the Labour Party were not fighting seriously the constituencies where they were starting off in third place to the Conservatives, and the same was true of the Liberal Democrats. In other words, if you were living in Guildford, which is a Liberal Democrat prospect, the Liberal Democrats were campaigning hard, Labour were not to be seen. Conversely, if you were fighting for Durham, for example, then, you know, the Liberal Democrats were not to be seen and Labour were fighting everywhere. So voters don't just get these messages through opinion polls, they also get the messages through whether or not the parties are active locally or not. Okay. And so therefore, it's very, very difficult to disentangle the two.
But you are accepting in that opinion polls don't just describe, that they can also shape opinion. So I wonder,
In individual constituencies, yes. I mean, more broadly, to be honest, I mean, there was a lovely academic paper done 20, 30 years ago, which tried to work out whether or not in British elections there was an underdog effect, or whether or not people were wanting to back the winner. And they basically found that sometimes public opinion shifted in favour of the party that was behind in the polls, and sometimes it shifted in favour of the party that's in favour. So, you know, it's very difficult to prove one way or the other.
Might there, though, be a case to be made that in order to maintain the integrity of the electoral process, that there should be a moratorium on polls throughout an election campaign?
The problem you have with that is twofold. One is you create a insider market, because while you can try to ban the publication of opinion polls, you cannot ban their conduct. So organizations like hedge funds who think they might be able to make money as a result of making the right bet about the election may well engage in activity. The political parties will certainly engage in activity. So you have to ask yourself, why is it you want to create an insider market where, as it were, those with money and those the political parties know what's going on, but the rest of the electorate don't? That's issue number one. Issue number two is actually now it's very difficult to ban the publication of opinion polls, because all you have to do is to give it to a website that is not registered in the country in which the election is taking place.
Lo and behold,
it's on the internet. So to be honest, that particular horse has long since bolted the stable.
I wonder what view, John, do you take of the increasing inclination of marketeers to use polls as a tool in their marketing of a brand or a product? You know, X number of people say that they would do A, B or C or buy this, that or the other product. Because people don't often really know how to properly interrogate those kind of polls to see if they're of any statistical validity at all.
Well, if you're asking me about the merit of hypothetical questions, i.e., would you do X or Y, if product A had A or B? Well, I mean, clearly, if you are a company that's got a product to sell, you will want to do your market research, and there's no obligation to publish that. If you decided to keep it to yourself, that's fine, and it may or may not help your marketing strategy. What is true in the UK is that, whether it's a hypothetical question or whatever, certainly when it comes to political polling and more broadly social polling, the British Polling Council, which I used to preside over, does require the companies to publish detailed wording for questions, detailed tabulations, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want to know what was going on in the 2024 election and why the polls were, what were the underlying numbers behind their polls, they're all available on the web, on the relevant company's website. So therefore, the UK at least does have a quite strict regime, which is designed to ensure that if you do want to interrogate the polls, if you want to work out whether or not they are being interpreted correctly or not, that information is actually publicly available. Yes, you've got to do the work, you've got to do the research, you've got to do the critical scrutiny, but the information is there, it is made available.
And is a poll that asks the opinion of anything less than 1,000 people statistically worth anything? Should that be the minimum bar for entry?
That's usually accepted as a requirement. It's simply because statistical theory says that if you're trying to estimate something that is around the 50% mark, and then, if you've got 1,000 people and the sample is perfectly representative, then, plus or minus the results, the figure you came up should be right between plus or minus 3% of the true figure 95% of the time. But the honest truth is that, the issue that bedevils polls is not so much sample size. Most polls in the UK, at least, indeed most of the world, are at least 1,000, often bigger than that. But no matter how big your poll is, if it is unrepresentative, then it's not going to be right. And the truth is, we can talk about people being influenced by the polls. We can talk about late swing. When there was a very significant inquiry in the UK in the wake of the polls overestimating Labour in 2015, they came up with the most obvious and the most boring answer, which is they had too many Labour voters in their sample. Now, there are interesting reasons why. Exactly, right. But there are interesting reasons. But then we can then begin to explain why that's the case. So one of the challenges that faces the pollsters in the UK is that, as has long been the case, younger people are less likely to vote. It's also now true in the UK that younger people are more likely to vote Labour. So if you don't estimate accurately the age difference in the probability of voting, there is a risk that you will end up with overestimating Labour's vote, because the people whom you poll are more likely to people who are likely to actually go out and vote. Now go out and vote Labour. And so that is a real methodological challenge. Now, we don't know why the polls were inaccurate in 2024. We've got an initial intimation from one source that maybe the age gap in turnout was particularly big at this election, and maybe that is part of the story. But you know, the truth is, it will take quite a lot of research before we get to the bottom of it.
Professor John Curtis, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, does your pet need to lose weight? If so, stay with us. Our resident vet is on hand.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.